Hello all and welcome back from Cornwall in the southeast of England. I'm joking, apologies. Last week, I don't know why I said that Cornwall is in the southeast of England. Just to confirm, I do just about know enough geography to confirm Cornwall, southwest of England. Welcome back all. Thank you as ever, everyone, for getting in touch, sharing your thoughts and opinions. The best place to do so, comment section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe with some pics, you can email hi@tuesdayatdobbs.com. We'll start off this week with looks only potentially a mother could love. This is from Ollie. Freddie, the Honda. Now, I don't know if I'd ever knowingly heard of this. Maybe I have. Maybe it's popped up once or twice, but this is fairly new to me. The Honda Helix, the original maxi scooter. Well, there's something in itself that's fascinating. It is indeed a strange machine. That is undeniable. When the boredom of lockdown set in, as with many motorcycle enthusiasts, I found myself trawling through the depths of eBay, looking for something interesting to tinker with. I'd seen a Honda Helix in various corners of the internet and was intrigued by them. And when I was presented with the opportunity to actually buy one, well, I realized maybe it was just what I needed to entertain myself during lockdown. It was listed on eBay as needing a few repairs, which may have put other buyers off, but I managed to bag my Helix for the modest sum of £700. Getting it up and running was a bit tricky and plenty of wondering whether I would ever succeed, but once it was up and running, it was very well worth the effort. These things float along like a dream, whether cruising at 65 on the motorway or pulling away from traffic quickly and smoothly. It just does a great job effortlessly. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a scooter devotee. My other bikes include a 1975. This is a good mix, I know this bike. 1975 XS 650, a 1999 Suzuki Bandit, a 1989 Honda Transalp, and this maxi scooter. But this maxi scooter is unlike any bike I've ever ridden. Stress-free, weird, and wonderful machine. It's now white, which isn't original, as all of them that were sold in the UK were metallic maroon, but it stood the test of time and brings a huge smile to my face every single time I ride it. And that's from Ollie. Ollie, here goes. Let's share a bit about this bike. Honda Helix, otherwise known as the Honda CN250, depending on what market you're in. 1986, it was first launched, and fascinatingly, it had a 21-year production run all the way through. I can barely believe this. Until 2007. I mean, imagine this bike being sold still in 2007. It looks like production must have ended in the 1980s. This is another bit of interest. This was originally launched for the US market. I just would not have thought that would be the initial market to launch this in. Wikipedia says this about the Helix. In the US, the Helix was a hit with middle-aged and older people. The Helix attracted customers that desired long-range touring capabilities, but didn't want to shift, were unable to shift, or did not want a large, heavy, conventional motorcycle. I found one, and this was difficult. I thought these would be a bit more popular. I found one on Facebook Marketplace. In fact, I found two of them. This is really interesting. Only two, to the best of my knowledge, on eBay. The first one is a 1990 model. Don't think you're going to get some kind of quirky bargain here with the Honda Helix, because you're not. In fact, it's quite the opposite. This 1990 model is £2,750. That is relatively a colossal, colossal amount of money for a bike like this, but the market dictates what something's worth, and it doesn't have to make sense. It looks like this is actually what these are worth. Two owners from new, 2,500 miles from new. This is an excellent condition one. I don't know if I've ever seen anything that looks quite like these. You look at these a little bit closer and you do understand why they make sense. That seating position must be the most relaxed, natural position you could possibly get. And then those seats for both the rider and passenger with that backrest, it just looks sofa levels of comfort. And that must be a boot at the back of it with that classic 1980s style dash. God, it's a weird thing. This is where things get even weirder though. There's a 1990 model on Facebook Marketplace listed 2 months ago, advertised as perfect condition. Same year as the other one. The This is £5,000. So clearly in the right circles, these are potentially worth a decent chunk of money. £5,000. This is the type of thing, Ollie, I'm sure you may agree with me. You can't justify this with common sense. I know you got yours for a bargain of £700, but if you're looking at one of these bikes, there is no common sense to say anyone should spend over £2,000 on one of these. And then you can't really even say, from an aesthetics point of view, it's so drop-dead beautiful that it's also worth the money just because it's so beautiful. You have to really just accept you are slightly weird and you like this kind of bike. I get it. Ollie, thank you for bringing that to my attention. It is weird and wonderful. On to a £1,000 budget. This is a position we've probably all been in before. Fairly tight budget. What can you get? This is from Andrew. Freddie, unfortunately last week I was rear-ended at a stop line and my budget, 1998 Kawasaki ER5, it looks like it's going to be written off. So looking for a new to me bike now as soon as the insurance payment lands. Budget-wise, I'm still on the lower end of the spectrum. That's maybe £1,500, but more likely £1,000. But the choice on Facebook Marketplace is better than I remember last year. I don't know if this means that more bikes are for sale or if I'm just looking at a better point of the year. With my commuting through the winter, my preference now points to Honda VFRs and Triumph Sprint STs. Although the Suzuki SV650 is tempting as there's loads around at that price range, but there's lots of other options around with decent length MOTs ready to roll. Andrew, first of all, I completely agree. This is exactly what I'm finding as well. And I'm so happy that you and others are noticing this. Bike prices for used bikes were absolutely obscenely ridiculous a year, maybe 2 years ago. It was just madness. But the market now has settled down. And I think that's because everything after COVID, all of that settled down. The supply of bikes is now pretty much back to normal. And also there are so many incredible deals. Yes, on finance, but also just the cash price on brand new or pre-registered bikes. That is forcing down the prices of all of the old bikes. Plus, you've got the likes of Royal Enfield coming along, which is so keenly priced initially. It's making everything more competitive in the used market. And that's good stuff because some bike prices have been ridiculous on the used market. I even take my Bonneville as one of those. If you look at it, I bought my Bonneville, I can't remember, 4 or 5 years ago for about £3,650. But my Bonneville, it's still worth about £4,000. I mean, not mine because the mileage is high and stuff like that. But a really good condition, lowish mileage Bonneville of my age is still worth about £4,000. I mean, ideally, I would really want to see them all about £2,000 because this will just let many, many more people into biking. So still, I think in some areas, bikes are too highly priced. But I guess, again, the market will dictate what something's worth. And if someone's willing to pay it, then that is what the market price is of the bike. Andrew, going back to it, hold that thought, £1,000 for a bike, because I've got a bike that isn't specifically sensible, but I think I found you a dream level bike for £1,000. So not just a commuter. I want to go all out and find something that really gets the adrenaline pumping. Listen to this from Frank in Australia. A little bit of a story behind this, and then it will build up into the crescendo of the bike I'm going to recommend for you. Freddie, and this is from Frank in Victoria, Australia. Freddie, I thought I'd share my return to the saddle after a couple of decades. 20 years flew by. Babies became toddlers who became kids, then teenagers, then adults. I looked in the mirror one day, and I saw an old bloke looking back at me. I said to my wife, I think I want to get a bike again. So 2.5 years ago, I bought a 2001 Yamaha XJ900 Diversion. Getting back into riding has awoken some long dormant skills and been a big boost to lifestyle and mental health. It is a great stress reliever. The Diversion is great and it's useful, but it's not exactly exciting. So a year ago, I had a little adventure and I bought my personal all-time dream bike. Here we go. 2005 Honda CBR1100, otherwise known, of course, as the Honda Blackbird. I found the bike on Marketplace in Tasmania. The journeys Aussies have to go on to actually pick up motorbikes is unlike anything else. So this one's in Tasmania with 11,000 kilometers on the odometer. After messaging the seller, some discussion and looking over some photos, I booked a flight to Devonport. Less than an hour after landing, I had the keys and the paperwork was done. The day was spent exploring some stunning scenery and roads while hanging on to this beast of a bike, and eventually then boarding a ferry for the overnight trip back to Melbourne. The smoothness and sheer effortless of this bike is just on another level. If you've never ridden a Blackbird, a ZZR 1100, or a Hayabusa from this era, take one for a test ride. It's an experience. Since then, my two kids had decided that getting their motorcycle learner permits was a good idea as well. They went to the training course together to get their permits and then to find their own bikes. We've had many wonderful rides together as a family, making great memories. Getting back into biking has been a big positive step for me, and being able to share the experience with my family has made it that much more special. Frank, that is like it's meant to be when I saw that. I was originally looking for, Andrew, for your potential £1,000 bike, for more sensible everyday bikes. But then I thought, why can't a Blackbird be more sensible? And is it possible to even get one of these for close to £1,000? If you bear in mind that when this came out in 1996, I believe, this was the world's fastest production bike. There was nothing faster than this bike, but it always goes under the radar because of one specific bike, the Blackbird Killer, the Suzuki Hayabusa. Specifically named Hayabusa, that's the Japanese word for peregrine falcon, and that bird, the peregrine falcon, it feasts on blackbirds. That's exactly why Suzuki named it that way. The Hayabusa came out, and it was faster than the Blackbird, so immediately everyone forgot about the Blackbird, and the Hayabusa was the new king of its generation. And that's why everyone knows about Hayabusas. That's why Hayabusa values are 2-3 times more than Blackbirds, and they're always remembered more fondly. The Blackbird is really the forgotten competitor in its segment. And what that means is that prices are really, really keen. Take a look at this. Facebook Marketplace. Year 2000, Honda CBR 1100 Blackbird, the beast. This is how crazy motorcycle prices are. Nothing makes any sense. This Blackbird is £1,495. But the Honda Helix that I mentioned at the start of the video, the cheapest one I could find is $2,500. So the very cheapest, run-of-the-mill, basic as you get Honda Helix is £1,000 more expensive than the cheapest Blackbird. Cheapest Helix versus cheapest Blackbird. And the Helix is more expensive. Who would ever have guessed that? So here we are now looking at one of the ultimate bikes of its generation. In fact, for a couple of years, the ultimate bike for such tiny money. £1,495 listed 18 days ago. Come on, you've got to be able to get that for £1,200. I am almost certain. And this is why I think it's a good bike to get. Full service history, including a £946 valve clearance, respray of fairings, 11 service stamps, very little mileage since the last work done on it, all of the old MOTs, that's annual checks. Bike still rides well and is exceptionally quick. Priced well for a quick sale, viewings welcome. It may not make the absolute level-headed sense if you're looking for a bike to commute on, but just the fact that for £1,000, you can get the real deal, the full package. Honda reliability, speed so fast you can keep up with anything on the road, even anything that's made in the past 2 years. Nothing surely will ever leave you on that. And just knowing that you've got one of the ultimate bikes ever made. I love stuff like that. And that's why I love biking so much. There's so many incredible options out there. Used propositions. Let me know what you go for and happy shopping. And I'm glad you're getting back on the bike after a crash. Moving on now, an American dream from Fernando. Fernando, I think if I'm right, looks like you're in Spain. From Fernando, the day arrived after 41,000 kilometers with my Moto Guzzi V7 Stone. 3.5 years of ownership. After lots of bikes in my life, it was time to make my dream come true. My first ever Harley Davidson. I was looking at Dinas or Softail Heritage or even a Road King, all of them old versions. But this Sportster pictured, this was there waiting for me. 1200cc, 20,000 kilometers on the clock. No modifications apart from grips and a seat. 2006 model, carburetor. And there I was, in almost 50 years of age, buying something that I could have bought years before, but for some weird reason, it just didn't happen. And for anyone who's wondering if it makes sense getting this chunky piece of metal, yes, it does, but it is irrational, I know. Fernando, yeah, these are getting more and more special. One of the most iconic motorcycles ever made. I really don't think anyone would argue with that. Those air-cooled Sportsters. The problem with this is that you've managed to do, Fernando, very successfully, is trying to find at least a semi-original version of one of these. It is so difficult. Because these ended up being the most incredible base for customizations, it feels like there's no more than about a handful of these in original condition. It's very, very near impossible to find a complete 100% standard Sportster. And this is the problem. I remember when I went to Paulson Creative, which is a motorcycle modifier, really cool place in the Essex countryside. They started off, they made a name for themselves really at the beginning by customizing Harley Davidson Sportsters. They did some brilliant builds. But now the Sportster's been discontinued, the air-cooled one. The prices have gone up so much, they're no longer cost-effective enough as a base for customizing because the price has gone up so high, people now don't want to chop and change a bike that's potentially worth £10,000 if you keep it in standard condition. So Paulson Creative have started looking for other options, such as the Triumph Bobber, to replace the ever rarer Sportsters because they're really becoming. Collector's pieces is too much, but people know they're really valuable now, these Sportsters, and a lot of people are either holding on to them or not wanting to modify them because they know they're holding on to something quite valuable now. So what can we get? Well, if you're looking at the very last of the generation 2020 Sportster, you know, you're looking at about £10,000. Take a look at that though. It's still, you know, 5 years after it was discontinued, 4 years after, it looks just as good. In fact, it may even look even better. They've aged as well, if not better, than any other bike over the past 5 years. You can get a more entry-level one. I say entry-level one. You can get about the cheapest of the really desirable style of Sportsters. Comes in about £5,500. Something like this one, which is again a stunning bike, £5,690. You know, every time I go back and look at the Sportsters, I am reminded of how nice they are, and they do modify so well. If that's your thing, which I completely understand, I'd probably be quite tempted to do a couple of bits. Ever popular and will remain so. Fernando, welcome to Harley Davidson ownership. I'm sure you'll be over the moon with your purchase. Up next, a miniature Paris-Dakar racer. Freddie, greetings from Jersey, Channel Islands. I watched your latest episode on unicorn motorcycles and wanted to submit a rare find. A friend of mine's given me permission to submit his stunning Aprilia Touareg Wind 125. This example has been de-restricted to produce 34 horsepower from a 125cc. 34 horsepower, that's pretty good. Last time we checked, there were only 14 of these, or 14 of these had an MOT, an annual check, in the UK. And this is the only one registered that's still on UK number plate. Finding one of these in the used market in the UK is nearly impossible. But the best part, this exact model, this one right here pictured, is for sale, so anyone interested can contact the owner at, I'll put the email here and in the written description if you're keen, you can get in touch. And that is from Eben on the Channel Islands. Right, let's have a look at this. Aprilia Touareg Wind 125. This is why it was rare, or it is rare. Produced from just 1988 to 1989, 25 horsepower, which is very healthy for a 125cc engine, and you couple that with the fact it weighs just 120 kilos, well, there is really not just a miniature Paris-Dakar bike, but also a bike that makes a huge amount of sense, probably for the majority of people wanting to off-road, because that ultra-light weight with a healthy amount of horsepower, that will fly along the off-road tracks. Eben, thank you so much for sharing that. And if anyone's interested, email in the written description below. On to bike of the week. I had to check this because this rang a bell. This is my bike of the week, not my personal bike. I just found it myself because I wasn't looking specifically at this, but I was on Facebook Marketplace this morning and this bike popped up and I had some deja vu. I knew I'd come across this before. So I typed in the bike name and up it popped. My old podcast from 3 years ago, I mentioned this. See if you can guess it just before I put a picture up. It's a Yamaha V-twin engine out of the Yamaha Dragstar. That's the Yamaha Cruiser. Made from 2002 to 2007. 64 horsepower, 230 kilos. There's no way I would have guessed this. I'd almost forgotten about this, actually. It's the Yamaha Bulldog. Yamaha Bulldog, 1100cc V-twin engine. Take a look at that. That looks so current and so modern. And to see a V-twin in an almost super naked style frame, such a unique looking thing. So it looks like the owner of this, I mean, take a look at that side profile. I think the owner of this has simplified it and very, very slightly, sympathetically brought it up to date just by getting rid of anything that really would tell you that it's an older machine. Whatever the owner's done, they've done a superb job because the lines are so clean on this bike. Not specifically cheap, 2005 model. £3,000. There's a list of what the current owner's done. But you know what this kind of reminds me of? The Buell motorcycles. You know, that American brand under the Harley-Davidson umbrella. They had those Sportster V-twin engines and they look brilliant. But I know of a lot of Buell owners who say, yes, they like the bike, but getting parts for them is a nightmare now. So really, you buy a Buell, you keep it, you don't ride it because you're so scared something's going to break. You just don't want to use it. So you just keep it as a nice bit of history, but riding it, forget it, not going to happen. This Bulldog is a Japanese version of a Buell Lightning. You're going to be fine getting parts for this. It's going to have that reliability, that everyday usability. It's got the character of a V-twin engine, but none of the drawbacks that you're going to have with a Buell. And I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. I really hope you enjoyed it. Have a brilliant week all. And I'll see you in the next one.